is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
It is June the 2nd, 2015, and my name is S.M. Gibson. I am the Emancipation Propagandist, and I am the host of Anti-Media Radio. Tonight, we will look past the distractions of corporate media, and we will dive into what's really going on in the world. This is not about a Vanity Fair cover article. This is about the truth. So far this year, we have had 480 Americans killed by police officers in the United States. We have had 54 police officers killed in the line of duty, or should I say have died in the line of duty, because 15 of those are automobile accidents, 11 of those are heart attacks. The wonderful allies of the United States that never does anything wrong, Saudi Arabia, has beheaded 92 people so far this year. And the wonderful gun laws in Chicago, the epitome of what the country should look up to for their gun laws, have seen 1,004 people shot so far this year, 172 homicides. And that's what they want our gun laws to be in this country. How's everybody doing tonight? Joined with me on the line is our wonderful producer, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty angry, if you can possibly imagine. I hate to keep saying that every single time you ask me that question, but Mr. Gibson, we got some stuff to talk about tonight.
We absolutely do. I tell you what, I'm glad to be back here in the studio. Back in Birmingham, Alabama, I had a great 2 weeks out in San Diego. Got a lot of work done, hanging out with Nick and Jaime and Carrie and the whole gang and everybody with Anti-Media. And it was fantastic. Wish you could have been there, Shannon.
Yeah, I wish I could have been too, but somebody's got to keep it real here in the ham. You know how that works.
There's nothing wrong with that. So I tell you what, let's go ahead and let's hit on... Let's start with the Patriot Act expiring. I applaud the handful of people that made that happen. Justin Amash, Thomas Massey, Rand Paul were very much an integral part of making that expire. The problem is today, Ron Wyden, I don't want to leave him out, Senator from Oregon. But today, they passed the USA Freedom Act. So that's going to be the replacement for the Patriot Act. But it says freedom in it. So, hey, everybody, and this is how the media is reporting, you're getting freedom. You're getting more freedoms. What's wrong with that? What, are you have a problem with getting extra freedom, Shannon? It says freedom in the title of the bill.
I mean, it says it right there on page one at the very top of it, freedom. Who can argue? What sane, normal, rational person could argue with freedom?
I mean, not me. I mean, you know, it's kind of the same as the Patriot Act. You know, everybody was against it, but you're a patriot, right? But what's so weird about this in the Freedom Act is they're saying, well, they're curbing the NSA. And in reality, they're doing no such thing. And even, you know, independent, more independent, should I say, publications, I won't say completely independent, but EFF, RT, you know, people that kind of lean more on towards the side of telling the truth on some topics, they're even reporting it as, you know, surveillance is getting curbed. And that's not it. It's just being handed over to private entities. The same amount of data is being collected, if not more data. Personally, in my opinion, I think they're already collecting everything there is to collect. So I don't think they can actually technically collect anything more. But,
you know, well also, who's collecting it now? That's what...
Well,
all this.
Well, okay, so what the Freedom Act does is it's going to hand over the collection of the data to the private companies as opposed to the federal government collecting all this data. Here's the issue with that. And again, I do applaud the, you know, maybe 4 or 5 politicians that really stood up out of 535 people in Congress, but we're dealing with a United States government that has built an entire complex out in Utah to collect this data. They're not just going to throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, whoops, you know, never mind. We can't do this anymore. It's illegal.
Everybody go home now. Everybody, you don't have any jobs anymore. Just go back to your TSA screener job that you had patting down folks in before they get on the airplane.
Right, exactly. And think about, okay, in the 70s, we had the MK Ultra come out, and that just sounded bonkers, you know, all the brainwashing stuff and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we won't get into the details of that, but U.S. Congress, they stepped in and said, okay, this is absolutely nut job, Bill, brainwashing, all this junk. So we're going to shut this program down. To this day, there's no record of that program existing anymore. But, Shannon, do you really believe that the CIA and the black side of the U.S. government, the non-elected side of the government, said, oh, yeah, they said we couldn't do it anymore, so we're not going to bother? And that's what this is.
I'm going to disagree with you because I don't want my genitals to get frozen. I'll just leave it at that. No anal hydration here. I'm nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah, that's the
I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead, but we'll get to that later.
Exactly. So, do you believe that there's anything different going to come from this so-called quote-unquote reform? Do you believe we're in the exact same place we were 2 days ago, or do you think it gets worse?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All we've done is we've seen a repackaging of the Patriot Act. That's it. That's all we've seen. And it's even repackaged all the way up to the name. You know, patriots are great and this, that, and the other, but I don't know. That's kind of a patriot. Some people have funny connotations with that word, but freedom. Who can argue with the word freedom?
Everybody wants freedom.
Everybody wants freedom. And why wouldn't we want a Freedom Act? I mean, it's the act of freedom itself. That's awesome, man.
Well, here's the thing that's so funny.
We got done with that pesky Patriot Act. We don't have to worry about that no more. The government is not going to collect any of this data. However, the data is still being collected. It's still available for use for the government to do whatever they want to with without a warrant.
Here's the thing.
Fourth Amendment rights still trampled upon.
Here's the thing about the Freedom Act. I think a lot of people, like, if you know what's really going on with it and know that the media has completely spin this, or the corporate media has completely spin this, and it really is, like you just said, a complete extension of the Patriot Act, I do think it's aptly named. I think it's the correct name because they want you to think, oh, you're getting freedom. But really what it is they're acting like you have freedom. And that's why it's the Patriot Act.
That is
you better
absolutely
believe
right. It is an act. It is a play. It is a show.
Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and bring on the line now, area code 205. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing this evening?
Chase, man. How are you?
Doing good, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, I hate to come on so early, but there is one little thing, another issue that I would like to bring up when it comes with the data collecting, and that is, somebody had posted a thing the other day on the internet about data collecting, and it was like, man, I mean, has anybody realized how many major hacking breaches that we've had in just the past few years? I mean, somebody brought up a very good point that all this data collecting, it's going to be a matter of time before it gets hacked, and all that information, everybody's information that has been collected, is going to be a matter of public record. It's just a matter of time. And I started to somebody posted that, and it really got me thinking.
Chase, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I've been sitting here watching, you know, I've watched some C-SPAN. I watched everybody argue back and forth on the floor of Congress. And you get Mitch McConnell and John McCain, and you get, you know, all the usual suspects. And they wheeled out Giuliani on TV the other day. And they're all sitting here talking about, show me one time that the NSA has ever abused its power. It's never happened. They've never abused this power. You know, they may have this information, but, you know, they're never abused it. Not once. Give me one example. And then you go back to every Edward Snowden interview ever, where he talks about how inside the NSA, they're just trading nude pictures of people all around the office.
Yeah. Well, I will say this, and this is a very scary thought. It is a very scary thought. Now, I'm sure all of you view, I think Snowden, I personally think he's a hero. I'm glad that he came out and he said something.
Well, that's because you have a brain, Chase, because he is a hero.
But, I mean, who's to say, because we've seen it with our police in the United States, you know, how many psychopaths, and I'm not saying anything about the police, but we know that there are, you know, nutso officers in the police force. Who's to say there's not a nutso employee in the NSA that comes out and says, hey, man, I've got all this data of all these millions of people. Hell, I'm going to release it. And now the chances that of happening are very slight, but it still is a chance. And it's not only the, you know, employees of the NSA, but, you know, third-party hackers from other nations.
Absolutely. And that goes into something, too, is they keep telling you that your phone calls aren't being recorded. Your verbal phone calls aren't being recorded. They're just collecting the metadata. They can tell you the numbers that called, and they can tell you the time and the amount of time that it happened. Okay, but we're also dealing with the exact same people that until Edward Snowden came out, they all of them denied anything was happening. You had James Clapper on the floor of Congress weeks before Snowden gave any information to Greenwald. And no, I don't know what you're talking about. We're not doing any of this. None of it. We're doing nothing. We're not collecting anything, period, zero. And then Snowden comes out and proved them all to be liars. And these are the exact same people saying, oh, now, because of that information, we're just getting some of the data. They're getting everything. You can't believe these people.
Anything they can get,
Interestingly enough, you know, going back to the Patriot Act for a moment, because, again, this is a repackaged Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was originated to combat terrorism. Now, how many acts of terrorism has the Patriot Act actually quelled? I mean, actually stopped a terrorist attack? How many times has that happened?
I'll say this. They've got as good a record as the TSA does, which would be zero for anybody that's wondering.
Yeah, and they got to see us naked too. So there's a lot of similarities between the TSA and the NSA.
Yeah. But, you know, at least, there was one instance, to be fair, there was an instance of the NSA somehow they intercepted somebody wired money overseas, a few thousand dollars, $7,000 or $8,000, something like that. And that's what they stopped. So, like, that's it. So every
that was the sum total of all of that money and all of our true freedoms that were compromised. That's the sum total. I mean, that's their only claim to fame.
Right. Absolutely, it is.
We've been had. We have been had.
We absolutely have. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go to another caller here. Area code 818. Welcome to Anti Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
What's up, Sam Gibson?
Manny.
Hello.
What's going on,
my
sir?
Boy, what's up, man?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, you know, we're basically down there in San Diego. They're having a hunger strike at you know, for two political prisoners down in San Diego at the Mexican consulate. And then San Quintin, Mexico, just bargained for $17, and they're asking for $22. And everybody's mad because they said, well, we have to give them $17 for a whole day of work, hard labor, and stuff like that. And then this young kid gets shot in Long Beach, and so now we have a problem on another cop shooting. What else is new, stuff like that? But I'm still fired up about the Monsanto, the biggest terrorist right now in the United States, and stuff like that. And I'm glad that S.M. Gibson was out here, and stuff like that, with the rest of the anti-media gangsters and stuff like that. I really appreciated that, and finally got to meet, you know, eye to eye, you know. So
man,
it was
great. Shannon, I wish you'd have been there. I got to the march in San Diego, and I see this guy get up on the microphone, and I think I recognize him, but I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And they said, it's Manny, and then I heard his voice, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Manny, it's Manny.
Lucky.
I was so excited. As soon as he got the stage, I ran over there and gave him a big hug. It was great. I wish you would have been there.
Yeah, it really was, and stuff like that, you know. So we fought the big monster, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4, get Monsanto out the door. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, get Monsanto off our plate.
Absolutely. It was a really good march, too. A lot of people turned out.
It's a lot of diversity, a lot of different ages, different walks of people, and different flavors of people, you know?
Absolutely. Well, but what it was really is, it was, you know, it was all one people coming together for the same cause, you know. And that's mm-hmm. what you preach about, man. It's what we preach about here on the show, is we're all just one people going after the same object of freedom. And we're not talking about the Freedom Act. We're talking about real freedom.
Exactly. That's correct, yeah.
So, Manny, what's your thoughts on this whole surveillance program?
Well, it kind of bothers me because, you know, I come from Mexico where we're already being surveillance, and, of course, we didn't have the right to even see what was going on with our government, you know. And then I come down here to the United States, and I see the same surveillance going on. The only difference is they tell us that it's not happening. In Mexico, they didn't deny it, or they didn't say yes or no. They just kept their mouth shut at least over there, you know, and stuff like that. That's the only difference.
Well, they kept their mouth shut here, and they just, you know, they – the whistleblower came out, and he's not even allowed in the country now.
Yeah, he is a hero, by the way. That's known. I'm serious. He really is, like Shannon said, yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Now, I tell you what, there's not many people I would probably stand in line all day for in the middle of November to vote for president, but Edward Snowden may be one of those people. Okay, so
I don't know. I mean, it's a crap job, really, if you think about it. These days, you know, the you know, and I've said this on the show many times, the office of the presidency has been just, I mean, completely defiled at this point. Our current president, all he is a glorified TV spokesman. That's it. Just like the last one we had. He wasn't really president. It was actually our vice president. And God, you see how that went.
Absolutely. Oh, speaking of the presidential race, two things real quick. I'm pretty sure Rand Paul is either a genius or he's completely given up on the idea of president, because him and Ron Wyden, the same people that just fought against the Patriot Act, whether y'all know this or not, he's introducing a bill, him and Wyden, to released the 28 pages about 9/11 that implicate Saudi Arabia. We have talked about these 28 pages in depth on this show and just exhausted ourselves about Saudi Arabia in length. Rand's the first real person in Washington to come out and be like, okay, we're going to do something about 9/11. There's obviously some sort of lie going on, and we need to sort this out. And the first thing you hit on is the 28 pages that apparently, so we're told, implicates funding coming from Saudi Arabia and the Saudi royal family. To me, the reason he's shooting himself in the foot on this is I completely respect it, but I think most of Americans are going to go, this tinfoil hat-wearing lunatic is mentioning 9/11, thinks it's some conspiracy theory. You know, I don't know if it helps him or hurts him. And on the flip side of that, on the other side, is they had Giuliani on TV the other day speaking about, you know, the foreign policy because of 9/11, and which leads into the Patriot Act. Lindsey Graham announced that he's running for president. Lindsey Graham, like, he has to be satire, I believe, because he's so crazy, there's really nobody that can actually believe the stuff he believes. It's just nuts, the stuff that comes out of his mouth. I mean, he's the epitome of what people talked about communist Russia. That's the stuff that comes out of Lindsey Graham's mouth. Either way, so they got Giuliani talking up there, and he says, the best foreign policy that I see so far is from Lindsey Graham, which is just, wow, you're finished, Giuliani. And then goes on to say, and this is the scary part to me, because he's already established where he's at on foreign policy, which is just absolute fascism. He says, I also like the national security stance of Jeb Bush, which we all know what that means, and then goes on to say, Marco Rubio. I like,
oh man,
exactly. And that's what's so scary, is I'm afraid they're going to start shoving Marco Rubio down people's throats because he's Hispanic. So you're going to be on the cutting edge. We're going to vote for a Latino to become president. He's young. He's a good looking guy. You know, we try to pattern him after, you know, the Rand Paul mold kind of a thing. But they're putting Marty in the same sentence with Jeb Bush and Lindsey Graham.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some high company right there.
It absolutely is. Mm. So that's where I'm afraid we're going in this election. Manny, what's your thoughts on that? I know you look at people the same way I look at people. What are your thoughts on having, you have the opportunity to have the first Latino president, and yet he's a lunatic?
Well, I'd like to have a Latino, but not a dangerous one, and not a guy that would stab me in the back in less than 10 seconds, you know.
Exactly.
So my campaign right now for a guy that's not bold, I've been telling, I started my campaign last week, and I'm basically telling them, people to cast their votes for nobody for president. That's the cast that I want people to do. Nobody for president.
I think that's probably the person to vote for, because I think that's the only person.
He's got my vote.
Well, think about what's going on in the entire spectrum of things. I mean, think about Hillary. There's people coming out and supporting Hillary Clinton, and they have literally nothing to base their support on, nothing outside of the fact she's a woman and her last name. If she was a woman with a different last name, they wouldn't care about her. It's the combination of the two. She has more scandals than even her husband ever did. Her husband could handle a scandal. He could be like, Jay-Z, you know, off the shoulder. She can't do it. She loses her cool. She's toast with whoever she runs against. And, you know, I'm worried that is going to be a Marco Rubio, and I'm worried they're going to slide somebody like him in there, and everybody's going to think, oh, things are so much better, and it's going to be exactly the same, if not worse.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see a woman for president for a long time in Mexico. We came very close to having a woman, from not being an attorney or a doctor or anything, just a regular woman. And, man, she was almost one in Mexico. And if there was a woman, actually, that I would say that I'd like to see run here in the United States, would be Elizabeth Warren, you know?
Elizabeth Warren has, there are some things she says that, you know, that are good, but I think at the end of the day, Elizabeth Warren to me is like every other politician, and I think if she ran, I would vote for who you're campaigning for this year, Manny, and that's nobody.
Nobody. That's right.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren has some very strange bedfellows. We've actually discussed this on the show. Very, very, very strange, very well-connected, you know, one percenter bedfellows. That, you know, that sort of thing. Really, I mean, we've had too much of that already. You know, we've had way too much of the rich and powerful have ruled by proxy through the Bushes and through the Clintons and through, you know, our current president now. I don't, you know, it just seems like more of the same. I think you were right. I think you were dead on with your initial with your initial candidate. Nobody, absolutely wonderful choice. Would vote for him in a second.
And
worth a ballot at. I'm ready to fill it out now.
Right, and I think we saw it with Obama in 2008. We're going to vote for a guy that we're going to vote for our first black president. And I think we're going about to see that with Hillary. We're going to vote for our first woman president. And people get so caught up in these ideas that they're voting for a race or they're voting for a gender, and they don't.
They're voting for a TV personality.
Right. But see, here's the thing. To be honest with you, I would vote for a 90-year-old white man that's the epitome of oppression if it was the right person that preached the right thing. Look at Ron Paul. Old white man. I'd vote for him. Because you know what? Freedom. Get rid of all of it. Just screw it all. Just shut it down. But at the same
time, issue a flat tax. Pull out of all of these unnecessary foreign wars. Pull out of this ridiculous, stupid drug war that we have. We've not gained any foothold in whatsoever. I mean, heroin's at a epic rise.
Absolutely, but. On the flip side, honestly, I'd vote for that old white man. You know what? I'd turn around and I would vote for a black lesbian if it was the right person. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what your orientation is. If you are preaching freedom, that's all I care about. Give us freedom. That's all anybody wants. We want to be free.
An act, and not just an act.
Right, exactly. You know, and I'm not voting for the pigment of somebody's skin, and I'm not voting for somebody's sexual organs. I'm voting for myself, my family, and my friends to have freedom. That's it.
Exactly.
And I don't understand why more Americans can't see that, and they get so wrapped up in the propaganda of, well, we're making history. Congratulations, you voted for the first black president, and now there's a bunch of dead people because of drones. Congratulations.
Oh, we could vote for the very first woman in Hillary Clinton, and she's already got her old slew of dead people already.
Exactly.
It should always be a liberty-based vote, in my opinion. I mean, it should always be who's, you know, for liberty, man. At the end, that's how I feel, man.
And sadly, that's what America's gotten away from. I mean, I read it earlier today, and it's true, and it sounds so kind of ridiculous, but the majority of Americans can tell you more about the Kardashians and Bruce Jenner, that whole family, than they can tell you about their own representatives.
There is no Bruce Jenner anymore. It's Caitlyn now.
It doesn't matter. I don't care.
There you go. And there you go. And again, everybody knows about Caitlyn, but you start talking about, you know, Justin Amash and some of what Ron and Rand Paul have tried to introduce. You try to talk to the average American about people that are really honestly trying. They're doing their damnedest. And we're not talking about perfect people. None of the people that I just mentioned are perfect people. They have their flaws, but they're doing the very best to fight for the things that we hold dear, and that's freedom and liberty. And not all of this other crap, this corporate crap that is being shoved down our throats through via Fox News and MSNBC all day long, CNN, and so on and so forth, all day long, to the point where we don't know. I guess we have to pick a side now. we have to either be for the Patriot Act or against the Patriot Act. And we're against the Patriot Act, we're against freedom. And if we're against the Freedom Act, we're definitely against freedom, because hell, it's freedom. And it's just an act. The whole thing is just an act. It's a puppet show to keep us distracted.
You know, Shannon, you're right about that.
Go ahead, Manny.
Shannon's right about that, because, you see, let me put something in perspective that shocks a lot of people. But, you see, I can say it because it's the bottom line. Is I tell people that easy, 9 out of 10 Americans in the United States, and I should correct myself, Northern American, because I'm from America too. 9 out of 10, you know, people here in the United States cannot pass the written test that I had to pass to become a U.S. citizen. Think about that. 100 questions, and you better pass
it with
a 70, or you don't go nowhere.
Absolutely.
But chances are, if they had to pass a test from ESPN or TMZ or the E Channel, they could pass that, but they can't tell you the history of this country. And they
I can name all the Kardashians right now. Yeah.
Forget the history of this country. Forget the history. They can't tell you what's going on today. That's terrifying. And these people are getting in line and getting in ballot boxes to vote for somebody because they think it's cool or they're the hip person to vote for. It's insane.
Exactly. Well, you know, I said San Diego, for instance, people more worried about what's happening with the San Diego Chargers. They have a problem that you know, they're doing a hunger strike at the Mexican Council. They're the San Diego County suing Monsanto. That's why it was really big in San Diego, because of the spill. Then, you know, we have another oil spill in Santa Barbara, California, and stuff like that. And people are wondering where the Chargers are going to be next year. I mean, that's sickening. Yeah.
And I guarantee you, Manny, I know I'm not from San Diego. I've been there a few times. The mayor in San Diego. But I can tell you, Phillip Rivers is a quarterback for the Chargers. That's the culture we live in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was actually on a job. I work as a plumber in the construction industry, and I was actually on a job a few months ago talking about a lot of this stuff. And one of the guys actually looked at me and was like, "Why are you talking about that?" I was like, "Because, man, this stuff's important, man. This is the future, man. This is the future of our nation and where we're heading." And he's like, "You know, this stuff doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is like the NFL and stuff like that." I think he said something like who got drafted into what team in the NFL. And it was like, and that's not the first time I've heard that either, man. From you know, other Americans, man. I mean, it's sick, dude.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was telling SM earlier today, or earlier when we were talking about getting ready for the show. I went to one of our, because I am a plumber too. I was at one of our plumbing supply houses today and talking with a young fellow that works there, who I've known for years. And I kind of looked back and I heard the Fox News on the TV in the back screaming and growling, hollering, and all these, you know, graphics and splashy, you know, this, that, and the other thrown up. And I just looked at him and it's like, "Why are you watching that?" And he just looks at me and says, "Oh, you're one of those. You're an Obama supporter. How's that working out for you?" Absolutely not.
And they always assume it always goes back to Obama. You're an Obama man. You're a Democrat.
You would have thought that I was speaking Chinese to this guy, because the look he gave him was like, "What are you talking about?" Because explained to him that the MSNBC and the Fox are two sides of the same dirty coin. It was like his head was going to explode. "What are you talking about, man? You need to be quiet. I don't want to hear all of that. You don't know what you're talking about." And he points to the TV and he says, "That's the truth. That is the only truth that comes out of that television." And I was like, "Are you serious?" And that's what we're subjected to right now. And I guarantee you, he could probably name all the Kardashians too.
Exactly. You know what the headlines here in Los Angeles was about our government in Washington? Instead of going into the corruption, the banksters, the foreclosure, the foreclosures on people's homes and all that, and put these executives in Wall Street away and all this stuff, you know what the big corruption scandal was that the government took care of? It went after FIFA. You know, I mean, are you serious? You know, I mean, I'm not defending FIFA, but I'm saying that was our major people to go after, you know?
And you know really why I think that. It not only is it, I think, part distraction, Manny, which of course it is, but you think about how much money rolls through this stuff. Just recently here, and we've kind of briefly discussed this in the past. I put together a hashtag storm a few months ago, yada, yada, yada. UAB, which is the University of Alabama Birmingham, their football program went away. And they say it was all based on money. And they need a certain amount of money to raise whatever. They didn't. They had the money. I mean, they have a ton of money. So they reinstated it yesterday. And here's the thing. I was talking to my dad about this. He said, you realize that this whole thing is UAB made so much money about this. It's like, what? Really? And he's like, yeah, just wait. And so then it comes out that UAB has raised $17 million in 6 months to save the football program. They raised $17 million. And I think that goes back to what you're talking about FIFA. It's like there's so much money involved in this stuff. That's why it becomes news. Because follow the money. You always, even in the media, follow the money. That's what gets put up.
Absolutely. And if they weren't able to raise the money, it would have been a quiet little page two story. It would have went away.
Yeah.
But now there's all this money involved. Well, suddenly, okay, yeah, we can do this now.
Well,
now we're flush with cash.
FIFA's got as much money as God. People don't realize how, you know, in the United States, you know, they're sheltered and don't understand soccer, football, and FIFA. FIFA's bigger than anything here. And they don't quite get that. But, yeah, there's more money, you know, than they know what to do with. You got Neymar in Brazil that's making as much or more money than LeBron James or Alex Rodriguez, and people in the United States don't even know who the guy is.
Yeah.
So
funny how that works.
Well, you know, follow the money. Follow the money. So what are we gonna do? We're a few people sitting here talking on a radio show back and forth. What do we do?
Well, me personally, I continue doing, you know, my activist work, you know, and I know that I made a difference. I have influence. I get a lot of calls from youngsters that I influence them, that they want to be leaders. You know, if they see that I don't use bad language, I don't say F the police, you know, even cops, you know, might not agree with me. Like, you know, my activist work, but they respect that, you know, because I don't go past the line. I might say something like, hey, say get back, we say bike back, or something like that. And as I'm guessing, you saw my demonstration, which is very crucial to the youngsters, when I dropped on the street and say, if the cops don't kill me, Monsanto will. I mean, you saw it, you know?
I did.
Yeah, and that picture, and you notice one of the other leaders in the women's movement, she dropped on too. Her name's Donna, by the way. And then this youngster says, I'm going to chalk your bodies in. That way we can leave the mark here and stuff like that, you know. And all these police killings and stuff like that, you know, stuff like that. And you're talking about freedom earlier, you know, basically here we go. I can hear my neighbor crying, I can't breathe. Now I'm in the struggle and I can't leave. Calling out the violence of the racist police. We ain't gonna stop till people are free. We ain't gonna stop till people are free.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, absolutely.
So Shannon, let me ask you a question. You go to your day-to-day job. You're on the job site tomorrow, and you're talking to somebody. This is, you know, we all go to a day job. We all do what we do, you know, whatever. We all do different things, but we all interact with people differently. What do you do tomorrow, or do you chase even? How do you influence the next person?
Well, you know, I was in a conversation, and you know, this is small. This is probably a little off topic. You know, of course, we live here in Birmingham, Alabama. We're familiar with the horrible past that we've had here in Birmingham. And I'm on a job site, and I'm you know, watching a white fellow who has an older African American fellow working with him, and he kind of lets one of those words that I don't like very much at all slip out. And it kind of just echoes across the room. And I turn sharply over because I just absolutely just cannot stand that, especially on a job site where we're supposed to be professionals and so on and so forth. you want to be a racist idiot bigot in your own time, that's fine. But if it happens to be in my peripheral and I happen to catch wind of it, I'm going to say something, always. And this goes for not only just that particular word or that particular situation, but also other situations when I've worked with, you know, Hispanics on job sites and hear the on delay and something about tacos and something about burritos and so on and so forth and this, that, and the other. And I put my tools down for a minute and I walked over and I explained to him how ignorant and how stupid that was for that to come out of his mouth. And, of course, he had a few little tools, things to say about it. But at the end of it, everybody had stopped on that floor that I was working on. I'm working in an office building downtown. And everybody on the floor stopped and was listening to this exchange. Nobody had any opinion to offer. And, of course, I got some funny looks. But, I mean, you know, it starts there. It starts instead of us just sitting and, man, that's a really ignorant person and this, that, and the other. No, it starts by what Manny just said a moment ago, activism. Activism is active. That means you're saying something, you're speaking, your actions, not only just your actions and what you do in your daily life, but you have to make a stand. We all have to make a stand somewhere. And I'm not saying that we all need to take up picket signs and get out in the streets. But then again, we all need to take a big time to get out. Because really, that's where we're at right now. It's time for everybody instead of us to quietly grumble. It's time for us to actually to take up the cause. And that's where I'm at with it in my daily life. That's where I'm at with it.
It can be just as small as just saying, you know, something. You know, it's the spread of information, man, and just telling people something. It could be as small as that. I've been in similar situations tons of times before I've had to do that, man, where somebody just, you know, wasn't educated on the subject and just be simple as just telling somebody the facts about something. I mean, I've been there a ton of times. It's information, man, the spread of information. Just tell somebody, even if they don't care, man, because eventually you're going to run into somebody that does care.
And with that scenario that I just said, it wasn't necessarily about just that one person that had said something offensive. It was about everyone around me, because maybe somebody will walk away from that and say, you know what, he was right. Maybe
exactly.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go ahead and do my ignorant best to sum up what y'all just said. I think everything y'all just said was fantastic. And to me, what it was is people need to go out and stop being so insecure and be scared about what other people think about what they believe. And there are so many people in the United States that believe certain things, and they're afraid to express what they believe because they're afraid they're going to be judged for it. And they don't want to be the one person that everybody looks at crazy. And that's what they feel like if they say something. But what they don't realize is there's probably more than one person in the room that feels the same way they do. So if they could just take a stand for what they believe in, then they'll find, oh, wait, yeah, you agree with me, you agree with me, you agree with me. But if nobody says anything, then the ignorance runs amok. The corruption runs amok. And that rules the day. And all it takes is to be active. It's just to speak what you truly believe. Not say something because the TV told you to say it, or it's the thing you're supposed to believe, or the PC word of the day, or whatever. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for other people. Stand up for love. Love people and stand up for that.
Yep.
And I don't see anything other around that. I don't understand why so many people are like, well, love's the greatest thing ever. You know, you see it on T-shirts at Hot Topic and crap. Love, love, love. But nobody does anything about it. Nobody's willing to take a stand. No. That's not real love. That's a marketing ploy.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to take a stand. If you believe in love, then go out there and show people love. If there's a homeless person that walks up to you on the street, and you do have the money, not everybody does, and that's okay. Give them a little something. Just share. Share with somebody. We're all part of the same human race. Share with others. Love others. Because if it was you, you'd want somebody to do the same thing for you. You wouldn't want somebody talking bad about you. You wouldn't want somebody saying bad, you know, this word or that word about you. No matter what skin color you are, no matter what race you are, you don't want to feel bad about yourself, and you don't want other people to make you feel bad. So if we all can come together and realize we're all part of the same community, no matter your race, no matter your gender, no matter your orientation, we're all here on this planet together. We all have to spread love. And we have to go over the division of all of it. All of it. We've got to stop pinpointing and weaseling our way in these little corners and saying, well, I support this one little cause, or I support this one little cause. No, we're all the same cause. We're all here as part of the human race. You know, I told this story before, Shannon. We talked about it. One of the astronauts was talking about being up on the moon. I think it was like from Apollo 16 or 17. After they'd been there a few times, he was talking about looking back on planet Earth, and he was just like, are you serious? Like, I'm looking at this dot. A dot in space, and all the people that I know live on that dot, and they have all these problems. It's like, you don't realize how insignificant and small you are. Get over it. He's like, he said he wanted to just bring the politicians up there and wring their neck and say, look at that. Look at that. Get over yourself. And that's what it is. Everybody wants to have an ego. Everybody wants to get so big and bad about, well, I believe in this, or I'm that. We're all one thing. We're all interconnected. We're all part of the same community. Love is the interconnection between all of us. And we have to spread that between one another, and we have to stand up for love. Period. That's it. Sorry, I'll get off the box now.
Absolutely. Well, I guess go ahead and start naming off all the Kardashians. Yep. We got to make sure people are still paying attention to this broadcast.
I know there's Kim and Kanye. Kanye Kardashian. But I tell you what, let's talk about the CIA story that came out earlier, and the CIA detainee that came out and talked about how the report, we all remember the infamous report that came out, very controversial, said that, well, we're torturing people and it's really bad, but, you know, it could be worse. And, you know, you kind of get whispers that it was actually worse, but you can't prove it. So one of these people came out and said, well, by the way, and you were touching on the Shannon. Shannon, I'm going to let you take this over because I know you know the story.
Two words, anal hydration. What can be worse than anal hydration, I wonder?
Well,
that's how Dick Cheney put it. I'm sorry, I just can't get past that. That's still hilarious to me.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was, you know, like you, I think you made the reference earlier. They were dipping genitals in ice water. They were
hanging him upside down. It was horrible. There was a lot of forced confessions. You're definitely going to get a forced confession out of me if you stick a hose up my butt and cut the water on.
Okay, here's.
I'll tell you whatever you want to hear at that point. You know.
Okay. And here's one so people don't misunderstand this. The man in question we're talking about hung him naked, upside down from a beam for 3 days. 3 days, 72 hours. They gave him water, zero food for 3 days. They took him down once to put a black bag over his head and dip his genitals in ice. And then they poured ice water on his face and hung him back up.
Yep.
United States government, your tax dollars do that.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, for what? I mean, you know, I guess he was the one that gave him the red mask, right?
I guess. And then they say his, you know, they use all these weird techniques. I know there's stories of giving people like a lot of coke because apparently caffeine enhances the punishment of torture. And that's a weird one. But, you know, if you look at a lot of these torture cases, I give Coca-Cola and caffeine and shove it down. And what's so sad is we're more worried about the problem in corporate media and the United States is, and excuse my crassness here, we're more worried about Tom Brady's deflated balls than the deflated balls of every single American that is elected to office, and they turn their backs and be like, it's no big deal. You know, we have people that stand up for this. The people need to stand up. We have to get over these elected officials. Manny said it best, nobody for president. Because they want you to believe that this person is going to represent your best interest. And I will say, there are a very few people that are doing that right now. But it's very few.
We mentioned a few of them at the top of the show.
We did, but there are 535 members of Congress. These people in whole are not standing up for you. They're not standing up for your children. They're not standing up for your rights. They don't care. They're standing up for the interests of the people that paid for their election campaigns to get them reelected. At the end of the day, all they care about is getting reelected, keeping that check going, and taking care of themselves. They do not care about you.
The very same corporate America, the very same corporate America that is sending all of the jobs that that used to make America great overseas right now. You want to know why there's no jobs to be had and why all the jobs are going overseas? Well, ask your local politician, and they're going to give you a not-so-straight answer.
Well, here's the thing, and here's the real problem with that. I think, again, we're all here on the same planet together. If you can give a job to somebody else, that's great. But here's the real problem. They're sending jobs overseas to slaves in China.
Basically. Oh, yeah.
And that's the part.
You know, pennies on the dollar to boost their own profits.
Right.
And make sure that that money, they've got enough money, they can still make enough money for themselves, but give that little pittance to Washington to make sure.
And they're not doing it because they're humanitarians, because they care about the economy of China. They're doing it because they can get some 7-year-old kid to build an iPhone for 15 cents for 8 hours of work.
Exactly. You know, people in the United States are in denial. They're saying, well, people like you that come from other countries take our jobs. No, you know what? When was the last time you saw something made in America? So don't tell me that all the companies are overseas. That's what's happening. Or at least they contracted out either way, you know.
Right, and that's the thing. And here's the thing, man, that's so crazy. And I know in California you hear this all the time. Well, they're coming to take our jobs. That's hilarious to me because – if that's an issue, let's just assume that's a valid issue. They're coming to take our jobs. Actually, what's actually happening is there are Americans that are outsourcing these jobs. So it's actually not somebody coming from over a border that's ruining things. It's actually some person you elected or some person in high corporate power, some CEO somewhere that's doing it. It has nothing to do with somebody coming overseas. Nothing.
I will say a lot of the I just want to clarify this. I don't know if a lot of people realize this, but we are in a major labor shortage in the skilled trades. And a lot of the immigrants that are coming from over the border, and I've befriended a lot of them, and I have worked with a lot of them, they're actually taking positions and jobs like in the construction industry and stuff, that we are actually having a major labor shortage in the United States. I just wanted to throw that out there. Because a lot of people complain, oh, they're taking our jobs, but, man, there really is. I mean, there's a labor shortage in a lot of developed countries, particularly in America, where a lot of people just don't want to work these jobs, man.
Because they're more worried about Vanity Fair and Kim Kardashian. They think they're too good for things.
And sitting on their butts in front of the computer, and that's the only job that they're willing to do. Like, if I can sit down, and I'm going to make the most amount of money doing the least amount of work.
Yeah, and they
that's why we're seeing this huge shortage in the trades right now, because it's not glamorous work at all. But we're also noticing that our wages are slightly going up and up and up and up in the skilled trade. Because there's a lot of folks that are just too lazy to want to do it. Excuse me, a lot of folks here in America. And so now we have this we now have a lot of quote unquote illegal immigrants coming in, which I think that whole term is absolutely ludicrous to begin with. I think it's a lot of people returning home, but we can get into that some other time. You go look at your history.
There are no immigrants until the day the Independence Day movie comes true and there's aliens down here.
We are the immigrants.
Listen, until Will Smith is the president fighting aliens and that's going on, there are no immigrants. We're all on the same planet. We're all on the same land. We're all here together. We're all created by the same God. Go. We're all interconnected together. It's insane that right. Everybody makes these invisible
laws. Did I just hear Brother Chan say illegal immigrants?
Yeah, I'm sorry, what's that?
Did I hear you say illegal immigrants?
Yeah, that's the term that gets bandied around here in Alabama.
Yeah, Manny, that term is spread a lot around here a lot. You hear that term a lot. Yeah,
it's kind of sad because you see, that's the government also making you say what they want you to say. They call us illegal aliens, you know, and illegal aliens makes me sound like I came from out of space. You know, people say, well, what's the correct word? I said, you should be calling us undocumented. Nobody's illegal. You know what I mean?
I think, to me, the terms, it's all ridiculous. I think we're all human beings. Oh, you moved to another piece of land. You need documentation to be on a piece of land? I think that's stupid. I think calling somebody undocumented is ridiculous because you don't need a document to be somewhere. You are who you are, and you're not a legal being somewhere. So the terms are ridiculous to me. But yes, in Shannon's defense, that term, illegal immigrants, you hear it all the time here.
It is, the Alabama has probably one of the harshest in the land, harshest immigration, illegal, quote-unquote illegal immigrant policies here in the state. Here, both Chase and myself have a dear friend of ours from Honduras who's here working in the skilled trades as a plumber. He can't get the necessary certificates. He actually should be a master plumber by now. He's a wonderful, wonderful, hard worker, very smart, bright, intelligent man who cannot get the necessary certificates legally as a plumber in the state of Alabama because of our racist laws here. So, yeah, it's kind of a hot-button issue in the family. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I will say, spending some time in Southern California, Manny, you should come visit us in Alabama. And I think as far as the relations, I think Alabama is ahead of the rest of the country when it comes to people with black skin and people with white skin, and they get along better. The whole thing infuriates me. But I think we're ahead of some people on that in Birmingham, not the rest of the state. The rest of the state's completely
Birmingham is actually a lot more progressive than most folks would think.
I think Birmingham's more progressive than they are up north. The rest of the state's completely backwards. But when it comes to people coming from over the border and they're, you know, Mexican nationals, oh gosh, that's where the new racism is in Birmingham.
They're the new N-word here in the state. They actually probably incite more anger and fury from both white and African American citizens here in Alabama. They're coming to take our jobs. Yeah, bullshit.
Yeah. And it's a joke. And here's the thing: human beings to work to produce a service. To provide for someone else. Who gives a crap if they came from Mexico City or they came from Baja California or they came from Jasper, Alabama? You need a service done. It's done. We're going to see you on Thursday. Join Nick tomorrow night, UCY TV. Thank you very much. Anti-Media Radio. This is SM Gibson out.
Buenas noches, guys.
Let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.